Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Webjet Limited half-year results briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. John Guscic, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Travis, and welcome everyone to Webjet's first half financial year 2020 results. Joining me in a less stormy Sydney today is Tony Ristevski, our CFO. Moving on to slide two. Outstanding performance from WebBeds has been the key driver of the underlying results that we're going to take you through today. TTV up a solid 25%, revenue up 24%, so margins were consistent across the business. EBITDA up 43%. We'll cover off the key driver of the outperformance on the EBITDA side. NPAT up 44% before AA, and cash conversion up 102% within the realms of our 95%-110% that we target for the year. Moving on to the next slide. As you can see pictorially, the key driver of growth over the last two previous compared periods of the first half of those respective years has been the significant growth that we've seen in our WebBeds business. EBITDA for this year compared to first half of 2019 was up more than 80%, contributing to the group EBITDA being up more than 14%. Let's get into the detail of how we were able to achieve that. As we have highlighted previously, WebBeds is now the clear number two player in the B2B industry. We are also the fastest-growing player in the industry. As you can see, bookings increased 53%, TTV up 42%, revenue up 50%, EBITDA up 81%, margin up basically 0.5%, and EBITDA margin tracking towards our target of a 4% EBITDA margin. That translates to 45% EBITDA margin, translates to 3.9% EBITDA against TTV. Very pleasing to see the initiatives that we've undertaken over the last 7 years have contributed to the most meaningful impact to our overall results. The key driver has been the increased scale and benefits from having the direct contracts driving the growth of our business. All businesses were profitable. All businesses substantially increased their profit, and we are seeing the multi-supply aggregation strategy of having direct contracts along with the long tail covered by third parties contributing to our efficiencies. The key driver of EBITDA improvement has been the growth in our Asia Pacific business, the annualization of DOTW, the revenue synergies coming through from that acquisition in financial year 2018, and strong cost management. The 844 profitability target, we're tracking ahead of plan, and we'll cover that off in a few slides' time. As we like to measure our effectiveness on an ongoing basis, we look at what does each incremental 100 dollars of TTV deliver with regards to EBITDA, and in the full year of FY 2019, it was 5 dollars. This year, it's up to 6 dollars. It demonstrates that the strong cost management, growth in underlying EBITDA revenue margins, and organic growth has contributed to an outperformance in our WebBeds division. Let's break it down another layer and go into a pro forma comparison. This is on the assumption that we had owned DOTW for all of FY 2019. For those that don't recall, we actually made the acquisition and completed that in the third week of 2019 in 2018. We've got the the assumption of a full year, what would that look like in our business of ownership? Pro forma bookings up 11, pro forma TTV up 10, revenue up 13, EBITDA up on a pro forma basis up 33%, margin up, and EBITDA margin up substantially. So that all excludes on the basis that Thomas Cook didn't occur. If we had excluded Thomas Cook from the prior comparative, would have been up 14 and 14 at TTV and bookings level. So what's driving the 33% of EBITDA on a pro forma basis? Clearly, we're winning more customers. Clearly, we're increasing the share of wallet with existing customers. The revenue synergies and the acquisition case that we suggested would occur when we purchased DOTW has come to fruition, and we've improved our cost management. And obviously, there is a sense of underlying organic growth that underpins that business. So to put that into context, as we drive forward into the start of FY, first month of the second half of FY20, we're seeing that in January, we had bookings up 28%, TTV up 21%. And that was modestly impacted at the end of January because of COVID-19. So what we've seen during the course of the first 7 months of this financial year is an acceleration of our organic growth rates across the business. As we've already comped and compared to the DOTW business by this stage, the January is a proxy for our underlying growth rate of our WebBeds division. And that underlying growth rate consists entirely of organic growth from that point on. There is no free kick from the acquisition of DOTW in that number. So a very real, a great improvement to the scale of our business, a great improvement to the delivery of all of our assumptions in the acquisition case, and the management team have executed strong organic growth on the back of the bigger and improved assets that we own in the WebBeds business. Breaking it down now by region, we go to APAC. We operate in 18 markets. Bookings are up 142%. TTV is up 108%. EBITDA has gone from a modest loss in the first half of 19 to 8.2 million. And as you can see in our last three halves, we've gone from a small loss first half 19, strong profit in second half 19, improved profit in first half 20. The thesis that we have consistently spoken to the market about, which is the investment in the distribution network of our Asia Pacific business and the contracting, has come to fruition as we expected it would. And we're seeing significant growth in the larger markets of Asia that we're targeting. In particular, India is up 150% year on year, Japan's up 50%, China is up 23%. Our increased size and scale makes us more relevant to everybody in the supply chain, but in particular, our supply partners, and our ability to get better deals, it makes us more competitive, is a testament to those outcomes. So we're delighted that we're seeing the scale benefits continue to flow through in our fastest growing region. We've continued to focus and target emerging parts of the market, such as other OTAs, which have been away there for a while, but in particular, we're excited about the opportunities in a couple of markets around super apps, which dominate the travel landscape in markets like South Korea and Indonesia. And on the innovation side, we launched WebBeds Destination Index, which is a tool for hoteliers that we provide them that gives them real-time information that enables them to make pricing decisions. And that's an exclusive initiative undertaken by the WebBeds business, which we believe will solidify our relationship with our supply partners. As we move to Europe, stellar improvement in the underlying economics as demonstrated by the improved EBITDA of 54%. Clearly, Europe was impacted at a bookings and TTV level by the collapse of the Thomas Cook business. So whilst bookings were up 2%, TTV was up 10%. We had a massive improvement in our EBITDA, and that was driven by margin improvement as customer mix changed, better negotiated deals, enabling us to put that into those prices into market, and phenomenal cost management and the synergies that we expect to extricate from the DOTW integration coming through. Key markets that were growing were UK up 9% in what has been a challenging British market, if you exclude Thomas Cook up 24%, Germany up 10%, if you exclude Thomas Cook up 127%, Spain up 14%, France 22%, Russia 133%. The destination mix continues to shift around, which goes to the strength of our business model. It doesn't really matter where consumers and travellers want to go. There is inventory supply across the world that we now operate, but in particular in our European business, we saw significant growth in this half in Italy, Greece, Turkey, UAE, Thailand, Croatia and Egypt. Moving on to EMEA, delighted to talk about the success we've had in the Americas in this division. As you can see, bookings up 78%, TTV 67%, EBITDA 57%. The standout has been the strong contribution in North America, driven by a number of significant wins we've had with new clients in that marketplace that are producing high volume. We continue to invest into the Latin America business. That is also growing. The Middle East business, where we are already number one, it's the first geographic region where we're the number one player in the market. We've expanded our reach into 36 markets, and we're still winning share and continuing to grow that business through organic initiatives that we've undertaken. Not a lot to report yet on Umrah holidays. We have, for those who don't know or haven't had an update previously, Umrah Holidays is a religious tourism initiative that we have undertaken through a 50-50 joint venture. It's an opportunity that we believe will be significant to our business over the following years. We did make a little bit of progress, but it's still a lot more to come, and we see tremendous upside opportunity down the track from Umrah. So at this point, I just want to come back and sort of revisit some of the assumptions that underpin the hypothesis that is the investment in Webjet. Clearly, the growth driver of our business for a number of years now has been the WebEds division. And within that, we've previously identified specific opportunities that will make a meaningful contribution to those results. So let's see how we've gone against some of those, and then we'll talk about what our profitability targets are going to be in the near term. So we'll start with Destinations of the World. That acquisition was completed in November of 18. We had identified that we would get from Destinations of the World in this financial year, obviously the 5 months contribution, which we clearly have achieved, and we separated out the pro forma numbers to talk about the improvement beyond that. The cost synergies, we identified that we would achieve $4 million. They have now been delivered, and delighted with the progress that we've made ahead of schedule on the cost synergies front. On the revenue synergies, it's as advertised 12 months ago, on track, and the annualisation of that is $10 million per annum, and we've been able to achieve that so far. If we talk about the greatest growth initiative for us in WebBeds for the next 2 to 3 years will be Asia Pacific. The Asia Pacific market is the fastest growing travel market in the world, and it's one which we have made significant investment in. We called out that in FY20 we would deliver an incremental 75 to 125 million of TTV. We're tracking ahead of plan against that deliverable as of the half year. And not everything was a silver lining to our underlying performance. As we called out in September and updated to the market at our AGM in November. Thomas Cook, our largest European customer, went into liquidation, and they were expected to deliver up to $200 million in TTV. Obviously, that has not come through, and at the point of liquidation, they owed us $44 million Australian dollars, and we wrote off that bad debt to the P&L in the first half, and we'll cover that off when we get to the statutory accounts a little bit further down into the presentation. And for clarity, one of the things when we initially did the deal way back in 2016 with Thomas Cook was that we acquired 3,000 hotel contracts. They are still our contracts. Nothing's changed. They have been contracted by us for a significant period of time, and they're clearly driving some of the outperformance that we saw, in particular in the European results earlier on. So let's go to this mythical beast known as 844, and it drives our profitability target. So again, just to step back for those who are joining us for the first time, over the journey for the last 7 years as we've built out this B2B business, we've spoken in particular the last 2 to 3 years about a target of profitability called 844, which is 8% revenue to TTV, 4% cost, 4% EBITDA to TTV. And the hypothesis is that we can deliver 50% EBITDA margins in our B2B business. So we had previously indicated to the market that we would achieve this by FY22. We're clearly currently ahead of plan. And if you look at our results, our revenue to TTV margin is higher than the 8. Our costs are still higher than the 4 and the 4.8, but our EBITDA TTV is actually almost gone, the FY22 target. Clearly, we're on track to achieve that bottom line of FY22, 4% EBITDA TTV target before FY22, so we're delighted with the progress that we've made. There are a number of initiatives that we'll talk about shortly that go to address the cost to TTV element, and we clearly believe we can deliver the 4% EBITDA to TTV in FY21. So the reason that we have a high degree of confidence in being able to achieve these numbers and potentially exceed the 4% is the revenue to TTV, so our margin, our take rate is higher than anticipated. The costs are coming down quickly, and clearly the EBITDA is a function of those mathematical elements. So the direct result will be that as we continue to think about our business, there are still scale benefits that we can extract, and those scale benefits will improve the EBITDA margin. In particular, our IT operating costs are now in scope to achieve lower than organic growth rate improvements in our underlying activity through bookings and TTV. And we believe that will contribute to a lowering of our costs. Our rest change solution, as it gets deployed to more nodes in the network, will contribute to lowering costs for ourselves and our partners, which should improve our connectivity with many of our trade partners because they want to deal with people who are reliable partners that can lower their cost to serve their customers. And we have two new initiatives that we are calling out for the first time as part of our cost takeout, which align to finance and operations functions across the WebBeds business, the streamlining of those and the capital investment to building out an ERP solution that Tony will talk about shortly will contribute to us taking even more costs at a run rate basis out of our business and scaling up the absolute number of EBITDA and also the percentage against TTV. So, actually I take it back, I'll be talking about this. So the financial operational functions, we're going to invest $33 million and there'll be a $5 million one-off investment to provide an ROI of greater than 30% for the alignment of sales and contracting functions, and we've started that process through WebConnect and ResChain. There are other initiatives that we'll undertake, and in phase two, we are talking about a finance transformation, investing in an ERP solution, which will contribute to some of the AI capability that we believe is fundamental in our ability to compete on an ongoing basis down the track. And our customer service transformation, the standardization and the ability to have the right people in the right time zone with the right language skills at the right cost base to derive superior levels of customer service, which contribute to the three pillars of our business, which are convenience, choice, and customer service. That investment in phase two will begin in the second half of 20 and will incur an approximate $5 million of incremental CapEx. So that rounds out our WebBeds business. We'll move on to the B2C division, starting with Webjet, the OTA. Bookings up 1%, TTV up 3%, revenue up 1%, EBITDA flat. TTV revenue margins, EBITDA margins modestly down. First half was one of the more challenging markets that we've experienced in the last 10 years. As has been noted in the consumer press, significant reduction in capacity by the both international and domestic carriers reduced our opportunities to outperform. Weaker consumer travel sentiment, which has been an unusual outcome. We haven't seen that for, again, a number of years. And clearly the bushfires over the latter part of the half impacted consumer sentiment and demand. Our flight bookings at both the domestic and international level were up on the previous compare. The key driver of the historic outperformance of TTV to revenue margins of ancillary products have been stable and consistent at approximately 25% of our revenues, and the strongest contributor to that, and we still see significant opportunities, the attachment of hotels in particular to flight bookings. Cars have done a pretty good job and has been a meaningful contributor for a number of years, but we have seen a turnaround that has been consistent over 2019 calendar year that has enabled us to increase the amount of hotel attachment, and we still see there are opportunities for us to ramp that up. Notwithstanding all of that, the brand has done what it's always done. It's insulated us against the challenges and the competitive actions that are undertaken by our traditional competitors, and I put Google Flights in that traditional competitor basket. They've been in market now for about 4 or 5 years. We haven't seen any meaningful impact of their changes, and we did do a clarification to the market earlier about why the way we capture clients and how we effectively use our marketing dollar doesn't expose us to the vagaries of Google as it does to many of our, in particular, American competitors who are heavily Google reliant. The second point is that as we have spoken about for many, many years, and it's probably been a 15-year mantra, we don't participate in meta search. We don't go for cheap wins by diluting our brand effectiveness by competing in a price comparison site. So the consequence, the travails of the metasearch industry don't bother us at all, and the impact of Google Flights is virtually negligible in an environment where the vast majority of our traffic comes to us organically through the Webjet brand term, which is the key driver of our business, and many, many, many of our competitors don't have that luxury. Moving on to the next slide, we continue to enhance the Webjet platform. We have lots of activity, and we have a number of outcomes that we're talking about there. There are one or two that we will deliver in the second half that, again, will contribute once again to the underlying growth that we expect for the OTA business in excess of what we achieved in the first half of financial year 20. Moving on to the second part of our online B2C division, Online Republic. As we called out at the full year results, we now have new management in place and delivering to a revised strategy for that business. At a bookings and TTV level, solid performance, up 5, up 7, modestly down at revenue and EBITDA. As has been the same song that we've sung now for a couple of years, cars and motorhomes have performed well. Cruise hasn't, and there is a plan underway to improve its technology and return its profitability through the use of technology and product, and we're in that cycle as we speak. And there were some restructuring costs as we implemented the changes that I've just described to management and to the operational base of that particular business. So the divisional highlights are on the next page. Motorhomes, again, where we continue to be the worldwide leader in the rental of motorhomes. Strong booking TTV and revenue growth. Car hire by activity is significantly the most meaningful contributor to the results. Again, strong bookings in TTV and cruises were impacted a lot by ourselves with technical and website challenges and a little bit of capacity. But as we'll talk about in a second, there are some potential longer-term structural things that could improve the cruise capability of our business. And with that, I will hand over to Tony Ruskevski, our CFO.
Thank you, John, and good morning, all. If you turn to now the corporate division slide of the slide deck, I'll quickly just give an update of the key highlights here. The key thing for me is obviously the focus around FX. As John highlighted earlier, we've had substantial growth in TTV, which brings a high degree of complexity regarding currency management. Credit to the team in as far as we've been able to obviously get a handle across that versus last year with the implementation of the hedging program resulting in a turnaround. We expect in the second half that to be neutral because that's ultimately what good looks like for us. The other aspect is how to think about the cost in the second half. We're expecting the corporate costs through greater cost controls to deliver something around just under 5% on a year-on-year growth. Number, which is down on what we said at the AGM, between 5 and 10%. The step up in the second half, we anticipate, will come through the insurance program that gets renewed every second half. If you turn to now the first half financial highlight slide, the key call out here is obviously the introduction of the new accounting standard, AASB 16 for leases. On the bottom there, we've described the impact in the current year as with the corresponding year. And just for those looking at our results and all the numbers that John has quoted, we've gone back and restated all the compares to incorporate the new accounting standards, so therefore all the compares are on a like-for-like basis. The other thing to call out here is obviously our statutory EBITDA is down as it relates to the underlying operation. John talked about Thomas Cook, which we took the write-off of. That's one item that comprises of the adjustment in the statutory result. For further detail, we do provide that in our statutory accounts, note 3.2, where there is a handful of other adjustments, and happy to take questions towards the end as it relates to those, but we have provided a high degree of narrative to assist those to understand what those look like. The other call out here is I've included tax on this slide. In past periods, we've left that in the appendix. Tax is becoming more relevant as it relates to our B2B business inherently through the operations that have been established 7 years ago through the Middle East. We do have a lower tax rate as earnings become more relevant at a global level. So effective tax at a group level before AA for underlying operations will be close enough to 15%, and we see that slightly trending downwards over the years. And lastly, just from an EPS perspective, our key highlights there with net profit after tax and before AA being up 44%, EPS being up 29%. Obviously, last year we had the equity raise towards the end of the year, so as to compare, issued equity is a lot lower in the compare period. As we cycle through that, we'll find that EPS will gradually catch up to the net profit after tax number. Now, if we can turn to the balance sheet highlights slide next. The key call out here is the strength of our balance sheet, particularly around cash, despite the write-off of the Thomas Cook debt. We ended the year just shy of 160 million. On top of that, we also have 88 million of unused facilities sitting there on the side. Working capital has been a key focus for the team in region. We did talk about this at the full year regarding our debtors greater than 180 days. As described there in the summary, we have been focused on it. A portion of that was due to the provision relating to DSW, which we wrote off. And therefore, an overall level has come down. The 180 as a percentage of overall debtors is 7% this year. It was 12% the last year, and the year before that, it was 10%. So it is historically at the lowest point as a percentage of overall debtors for our business. During the year, or the half year, we've also paid down debt for about $14 million as well. So our overall debt position has diminished. And therefore, at a net debt level, we're extremely happy with the position we're in and very low from a gearing perspective. The capital measures, return on equity and invested capital, they're definitely way above our cost of capital. And cost of capital will improve over time or decrease over time as the relevance of B2B becomes a greater proportion of earnings. And the cost of capital is definitely a lower cost of that of the Australian market driven by the tax rate. Moving forward to our cash flow side, as we guided at the AGM, our cash conversion of 102% as a function of statutory EBITDA is within the range that we quoted of 95 to 110. We've also called out some fair value adjustments there as part of that process, which were incorporated in our statutory EBITDA to present a true operating cash position. The other thing to call out is obviously, as I said earlier, there was a $14 million repayment of debt, and equally our tax in the first half was proportionally higher. We had a true-up as it relates to the Australian business. We had instalment rates in financial year 19 was predicated on the previous year in 18, where the earnings did step up materially versus 17. So there was a semi-true-up in the payment in December. So we will see a lower payment going forward in the second half overall. I can then move to the CapEx summary as the next slide. What we've got here is at the half year we're just shy of 17 million. We're on track for the full year to be at an underlying level between 5 and 10%, lower than what we anticipated at the AGM. Obviously up 19% for the half on the compare with DSW not in there for the first 5 months. We did sell some land and buildings, so it brought the net CapEx down to just over 15 million. The ERP mid-office solution that John talked about in the earlier slide, that investment, what that does do is bring together four disparate general ledger platforms and mid-office solutions into one, whilst keeping the platforms and the connectivity at a customer level, which has always been our operating model intact as a priority. In terms of how people should think about CapEx going forward as it relates to the distribution of that 33 million over time, in the current year we'll probably incur about 15% of that, in 2021 about 60%, 22 about 20, and then 23 about 5% is the way that would be distributed over time. But the way to think about underlying CapEx is obviously at around 5% year on year, which still will trail materially below the EBITDA growth that we anticipate. And lastly, on the dividend slide, we're declaring an interim dividend of 9 cents fully franked. In the near term, we'll continue to pay fully franked dividends. As I mentioned earlier, we still pay tax here in Australia, so that enables us to continue to provide 100% franked dividends. I was just to say thank you to the finance team in helping get through this half year, and I'll hand over to John.
Thank you, Tony. So as we look forward to the balance of the year, clearly the impact of COVID-19 is changing the nature of global trade, let alone travel industry, and we're not immune to the impact of COVID-19. We are already seeing an impact on our bookings and TTV across our business. We expect the impact of COVID-19 to be one-off in nature. It will reduce our earnings during this current half. There is a high degree of traveler uncertainty, but what we do know is that based on historical evidence, and if you go to, and you'll see in our appendix some information from IATA about what's happened in previous outbreaks, what the impact is, and then also what the recovery looks like. We do see that the disruption will be temporary. We believe that our earnings profile as a consequence will return to their underlying trajectory. And our expectation, subject to this being brought under control in the latter part of the financial year, would dictate a strong rebound into FY21 and won't change the earnings trajectory of our business. Because what happens, as we've seen in the past, is people rebook their deferred travel and people then continue to operate both at a corporate and a leisure level at a seemingly uninterrupted place. So what's happened so far and what we and our observations, and clearly this has been a consuming amount of work within our organisation over the last 2 to 3 weeks, as it's become increasingly clear that this is not going to disappear in the next week or two, that what we've seen is a material slowdown in our Chinese business. Well, material slowdown being that, to put that into perspective, hotel occupancies in China are down to 10%, and the vast majority of the international airlines are no longer flying there, so you can't get in or out. All of those schedules have been cancelled till the end of March, and a number of carriers have now cancelled until the end of April. So no matter what happens, the Chinese travel market will be non-existent over that period, and that will impact us. There is obviously a knock-on effect across, in particular, countries that are close to China geographically. So in the rest of APAC, we are seeing an impact as well. Clearly nowhere near the same levels as in China, but it is reducing our growth rates there. And a less impact in Europe and AMEA, and virtually non-existent in the Americas, and a modest impact on our growth rates. Our growth rates just aren't the same as they are in those businesses. We're still growing those particular businesses. On the B2C division, there it impacts both Webjet and Online Republic. Webjet exclusives offering, our most popular tour was to China. So as a consequence, we won't be selling that. And we have seen a slowing down in international and domestic travel over this 3-week period. In particular, international travel has shown a higher level of softness in comparison to domestic. On the Online Republic business, the motorhomes business, which had exposure to China as a source market, will be impacted, as well as the cruise business. So that's the unfortunate impact of COVID-19 and on our business. So if we go to our outlook and guidance slide, our current EBITDA guidance range for the changes that Tony mentioned about the accounting of AASB 16 is that we were expecting to deliver 162 to 172 million. As you can see from our first half performance and the stellar growth in January of this year, at this point, we would have upgraded FY20 EBITDA guidance. Clearly, for the reasons that I've outlined about COVID-19, it's going to impact our business in the second half. At this stage, and it is our best estimate, and it's been a bottoms-up approach from the finance team and the business units to look at trajectories, run rates, markets that are going to be impacted, markets that haven't. And based on the collation of all of that information, our best estimate is that second half EBITDA will be impacted between $7 to $15 million. As a result, our revised FY20 guidance is $147 to $165 million. That's an increase of 14 to 28%. But as you can see, our range, which was previously $10 million, has increased to $15 million, which reflects the uncertainty that we have with regards to what the impact of COVID-19 will be across our entire business. So before I hand over to questions, it's been a, notwithstanding Thomas Cook, it's been a tremendous half for the business, in particular WebBeds. To think that less than 7 years ago, you know, 7 years ago virtually today, we took our first booking. And through a combination of organic and acquisitions, building out a management team, working on the thesis that we could disrupt the incumbents with a multi-supply aggregation strategy, working on a thematic that the low-cost provider wins at the end of the day, and working on a thematic that providing superior levels of innovation in a travel vertical that hasn't had the level of investment and level of capital management that we can bring, that we get to a clear number two position, the largest driver of EBITDA for our overall results, and significant upside opportunity where even as the number two player today, we have only 4% of the addressable market. So as our business grows and we're 22 years old at Webjet, we still see that the best years are ahead of us, and we're clearly delighted with what we've been able to achieve in the first half, and we look forward to the execution of our strategy on an ongoing basis in FY20 and beyond. And we feel that this current period of weakness will disappear, and we will be given even greater opportunities to accelerate our growth. So with that, Travis, happy to take any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press *2. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. The first question today comes from John O'Shea from Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
Morning, gents. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, John.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking my question, and obviously a very good first half, John. Just a question in relation to your guidance for the second half of the coronavirus. Obviously, I appreciate the fact that it's difficult to quantify that, but the impact on flowing through into 21, have you sort of given that some thought at this point, or how do you think we should think about that?
It's difficult for us to make any judgment call on FY21. If you go to slide 35, the best proxy is SARS, but it's only a proxy because we haven't hit the bottom yet. But the best proxy was SARS, and you see SARS, as soon as the recovery was rapid, so within 2 months, we're back to the underlying level. And then you saw a significant growth beyond that. So if the virus is perceived to be under control by April, May, I think it'll have minimal, if any, impact into FY21.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. The next question comes from Tim Plume from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, a couple of questions from me, if possible. Just to follow on from John's question. Sorry, the line went a little bit. It was a little bit bad on my side, I suspect, for other people as well. What have you assumed in terms of the impact of the coronavirus? Are you assuming a full 6 month impact, similar to what you see SARS on slide 35?
Yes, similar. And the assumption we've got is this continues as is to May, and we see a little bit of improvement in June, but it's not material. So for the sake of completeness, we say similar. And to give a little bit more clarity about our thinking, we have eliminated all earnings from China from our numbers. And if you strip that out as a fixed amount, it sort of then goes a sort of 60-40 split between our B2B and B2C businesses of just reduced demand across various markets. So they're the assumptions that we've made. If I had to aggregate them, if you go into the detail, it's country by country, we've gone through that exact same exercise.
Got it. And just a couple of other questions, if possible. B2C, how do you think the rest of the industry, or what do you think the industry growth was for the first half?
Less than 1% in aggregate.
Okay. And last question, just in B2B, I understand it's difficult to split out synergies, et cetera, but how should we think about those destinations of the world? So you said that the whole formula of synergies was cost synergies was accomplished, so that's $2 million. And out of the $10 million of revenue synergies, so five for the half, how much do you think you managed to achieve in the first half of 20?
A little bit more than five. The revenue synergies, we're on track. So on an ongoing basis, and the second half will be a reflection purely of our activity. There'll be no TTV or bookings benefit from the acquisition of DOTW. We've now lapped the 12 months. And we would, under any other circumstances, have expected to see revenue to TTV margins improve of a similar nature to the first half versus the first half of 19. So full year, notwithstanding coronavirus, we would have expected revenue to TTV margins to increase, and EBITDA costs would have decreased at a lower rate than underlying bookings, and OPEX would have increased at a lower rate than underlying bookings, and then EBITDA margin would have increased again in the second half compared to the second half of 19. So the thesis under which we acquired DOTW has delivered all of our expectations.
Got it. I'll let some other people ask some questions and I might circle around. Thanks.
Thanks, Sid.
Thank you. The next question comes from Wei-Weng Chen from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a question on the outlook and guidance. You said that you were on track to upgrade guidance, and then at this stage, your best estimate is a reduction of 7 to 15 mil for guidance. But what was the actual reduction with respect to coronavirus, because it would have been off a higher number, yeah?
The logic is correct. We haven't put a number out because it's clearly a hypothetical exercise, but your logic is correct, Wei-Weng. It's a more meaningful impact. It's taken away some of the growth, clearly, and it's going to go negative in a number of markets. So you are correct.
Okay, all right, cool. And then any comments that you can make on some of the, media reports that there have been some private equity funds sniffing around with Webjet?
As per the document we loaded on the ASX back in December, if anything meaningful was to require to be disclosed, we would. So no further comment.
Okay, and then just on the 844, which obviously you've highlighted is ahead of schedule, is that as good as it gets, or are you guys kind of looking at what the next sort of stage could be and in terms of cost out?
So the 844 clearly isn't as good as it gets. If we can get to 3.9%, so let's break down the 844 to its component pieces. We're outperforming on a revenue element, which is absolutely great. Costs from 4.8, we still believe we can get to 4%. And clearly that will drive a better than 4% outcome if we maintain revenue and TTV margins. As we've called out in this presentation, we believe there are a number of things that we can do to drive those outcomes, and I would refer to you to slide 13 in particular, which talks out about those financial operational functions, and in particular the 30% ROI. That 30% ROI we reflected in lower costs per booking, and the thesis that we have is, and I'll repeat what I said in summation of the presentation, the thesis that we have is that the low-cost provider wins in this industry. We have the ability to extricate further costs. There are a number of initiatives that we are undertaking that will do that. The first one that we undertook on the back of the DOTW acquisition has been successfully completed, and that's only phase one. So phase two will be more impactful than phase one. So there's a lot that we can do to take costs out, and the net impact is that the EBITDA to TTV number will improve.
All right. Thank you very much. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you once again. To ask a question, please press star one on your phone. The next question is from Mark Wade from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Good morning. First question on the WebBeds business. What do you think, John, the general awareness is of that business amongst your customer base? And maybe you can break that down by region or hoteliers. Just, I mean, when I looked at it anecdotally, the awareness looked pretty low. So what are your thoughts there on what that level might be and opportunities to improve that?
I must say I don't understand the question, Mark, in regards to awareness. We have every hotelier in the world would know who we are. We have over 30,000 directly contracted hotels. They're one-to-one relationships with a hotel. We sell over 250,000 hotels and we operate in 180 countries. So I'm not sure what you're referring to, the awareness. The wholesaling of hotel rates has been a staple of the hotel industry now for 40 years. So the Jack that we acquired is 40 years old. DOTW that we acquired is 25 years old when we acquired them. So hotel rates have sold through a wholesale mechanism for a long time. So in the industry, everybody would know who we are. So I'm not sure what that question means.
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to get it, just trying to marry the comments that you have this 4% market share with you know, what might be kind of holding that back to in terms of where it could improve to. Perhaps another way of thinking about it is just trying to, with your WebBeds business, I mean, what do you think distinguishes that and what between the rivals? And in other words, you know, why do the suppliers choose you and the customers and so forth?
Mark, that's a very open-ended question that's not result-specific. So what I might recommend that you do is a little bit more research on our business. We have done a number of presentations over the years where we outline the competitive advantage of our business model. Most recently at Goldman Sachs a couple of months ago, we've done them at UBS conferences, Citi conferences, plus we've also had specific WebBeds investor days. So I'd suggest you do a bit more reading on our business and then you can give me the ask any questions after you've done that basic level of knowledge.
No, I have done a lot of reading and I'm still trying to grapple with this business and you know, why you think the customers will be and your suppliers will be happy to tolerate, you know, that 50% margin that you're aspiring to in that business.
I've never heard of a customer tolerating a 50% margin. Based on, you know, fundamental competitive principles, if you offer people value, they do business with you. Mm. If you look at our underlying business, you'll see that activity levels are up across the board and we're able to drive good value. It's to your point, which I think, again, maybe you've missed, is that the EBITDA margins are attractive. The revenue to TTV margins are low. Mm-hmm. And if you compare my revenue to TTV margins with the major OTAs who sell hotels in the world, we're much lower than them. So I think that if the question is why is the EBITDA to TTV margin, EBITDA to revenue margins high, it's because of cost control. It's not because we're not adding value. We're a competitive player and people like our offering.
Yeah, no, fair point. And last one, maybe one for Tony. Just looking at destinations in the world, just trying to understand that earn-out that's payable. I mean, there's a little bit of conflicting material from the way my interpretation was. And, you know, so I'm seeing note 6.4 saying it's a closing deferred consideration of $10.4 million. So is that the amount still to be paid in March, or has it been reduced to nil? Just help me understand if you can.
It's reduced to nil. What you've got there is the adjustment of the receivable and what we end up having to pay. The principals of DOTW, which ended up being paid in January. So that's what that relates to. They're two separate unrelated items. They're just the mechanism of the SPA. But don't think about them just because of coincidence of numbers, that they're related to each other. They're determined under two different sort of streams. The earnout is working through a mechanism which includes the March. The receivable and the adjustment ended up being done as a post-balance date event, meaning after the 12 months of ownership. It's unfortunate. It took that long to come to a resolution. And then we had to take that adjustment as an adjustment to the P&L as opposed to back into goodwill if that determination or finalisation occurred in that 12-month window. There is notes to the accounts of Section 3.2, which goes into a lot more detail, and equally a reconciliation of our earnout and the amounts provided in the statutory accounts as well for transparency.
Thank you. The next question comes from Quinn Pearson from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hey, John. Morning. I just have a question on kind of the financial health of some of the players in the bedbank ecosystem, particularly given that, Asia-specific businesses would probably be under a lot of strain now. And that kind of goes two ways, which is firstly, is this a particularly attractive time for you to acquire competitors? And are there potentially some kind of distressed or, particularly willing vendors? But then secondly, how are you managing the counterparty risk with your travel agent counterparts? Again, I would imagine travel agents out of an Asia-specific business could potentially come under some strain. So any thoughts there would be appreciated.
Sure, Quinn. We'll deal with the first part of the question. We potentially will see a little bit of pressure put on some of our other competitors in the market, and that might open up the opportunity for us to make some acquisitions. Acquisitions are still clearly on the table for us. We can see in our results, we have a low level of gearing and a strong balance sheet. As a consequence, if those opportunities were to come up at an attractive price, we will take advantage of them. So there'll be a renewed effort from our side to continue to probe the market to see where those opportunities are. Your second point is valid, and it's clearly one that we are focused on operationally, and counterparty risk is part of the mix of our business, and we will be focusing on all of those, and where we think there is some counterparty risk, we'll be tightening credit conditions. But we have had, in the last 6 months, as Tony called out, a significant improvement in days outstanding, and we will be maintaining high levels of vigilance of all of our trade partners.
Gotcha, thank you. And just in terms of Thomas Cook, that was a big player in that region. Could you talk us through where you think most of that volume has gone and to the extent you've been able to capture it through other parties, kind of keeping in mind that if you can capture that through a different travel agent, that would be coming through at triple the margin. So I guess to what extent have you been able to kind of identify the flows of that volume and been able to capture it?
Yeah, it's an impossible task to identify a booking from someone who would have booked at Thomas Cook and where they've gone. I could talk about what happened in the immediate aftermath of Thomas Cook's collapse. We saw a significant surge in rebooking activity from one of their major competitors in Europe. And then we believe the rest has been dispersed into the market. From our perspective, and again, I call out slide 8 on our Europe business, because that's where Thomas Cook had all of its impact. In our Europe business, substantial improvement of EBITDA. TTV up a modest 10%, yet EBITDA up 54%. You're right. Now, our bookings growth and the loss of Thomas Cook, low booking volume, low revenue margin volume from that equation meant that we derived substantially improved revenue to TTV margins, and that went straight through to the bottom line. So the hypothesis is correct. Where it is, it's impossible to determine.
Helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Belinda Moore from Morgans Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, John and Tony. Strong first half result. Look, I apologise if you've addressed some of these, just the call's been going in and out. Tony, these are probably more financial oriented questions, please. Have you said sort of what we should think about your full year looks like for D&A, the underlying tax rate and CapEx spend, please?
CapEx, Belinda, I've provided that in the slide deck. So we've said, from memory, it will be up 5%, 5 to 10% on the on last year, and then plus an extra 5 for the ERP mid office solution into that position. Mental blank, sorry.
The tax
I've guided to about 15% or just under for the full year. And if I think about D&A, the D&A, as mentioned at the full year last year, we're still on track to be up around. I think it's gone up marginally to about 60% of last year, and AA is about 25%. I think what I said in August was probably around 50, 55. It's probably crept up to 60 with the increased CapEx in half two.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from Tim Plume from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, most of my questions have been answered, but John, maybe just one last one from me. How are you guys thinking about incremental inventory to add to the B2B platform from here on in? Where do you see the sweet spot in terms of that number of hotels that you've got on board? And is that potentially going to be via acquisitions, or will that be largely organic?
At this stage, we operate with the assets that we have in hand at the moment, and that is a really strong contracting organisation within our business of WebBeds. So what we see is, as opposed to increased new hotels, getting deeper allotments in our existing hotels is our number one priority at the moment. The 30,000 hotels is relatively flat on the full year. Directly contracted hotels is relatively flat on the full year. Getting deeper allotments with those 30,000 is the first priority. Where we have areas of expansion opportunity, we'll focus on. The one that over the next 12 to 24 months we'll build out is our contracting capability in Latin America. It's our least penetrated, directly contracted marketplace, and we're coming from a very low base, so we see some significant opportunities there. And if we are lucky enough to make some acquisitions that do have contracting base, they're always welcome into our mix, because it just improves our overall competitiveness and gives us an ability to strike an arrangement with our customers that is valuable to them. So to that end, we'll continue to do what we're doing. They're our marching orders for the next 12 to 18 months, and if we do make an acquisition that comes with something great, we'll absorb it into our integrated business unit.
Got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. At this time, we're showing no further questions. That does conclude our conference today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.